we can see that when you are asking people, that they will reply to you that I will see. Why they are saying that? They have doubt about Christ. They cannot see the sufficiency of Christ for their life. They need something else. If you meet those kind of people, this passage will help you to explain to them. Can you open Colossians chapter? You can say like this, you can prove this verse. Then God, Christ is sufficient for us. Finding our sufficiency only in Christ by showing these verses. If you are a believer, sometimes, even though you are following Christ, sometimes you are depending on something else. You are doubting about Christ. But here, Paul is explaining to us, motivating us to find our sufficiency in Christ alone. We know that we can read that portion. Why he is saying? Because the people are running after philosophy. Verse 8 onwards. Chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. Just we read. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with him through faith in the work of God who raised him from the dead. Look at verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. If you see this passage, you can see clearly the truth about the sufficiency of Christ. In him, all fullness of deity dwells. In him, you are completed. He raised you. He made you alive. With him. So you can see repeatedly with him, in him, with him, in him. You can see that we can find our sufficiency only in Christ. Why he is saying that? Because of verse 8. That is the context. The people are running after philosophy. People are running after other things like spiritual powers, demons, angels. They are finding their sufficiency in them. So here, Paul gave three facts that motivate us to find our sufficiency in Christ. First fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is divine essence dwells in Christ. We see that, right? The idea is full of the divine being is in Christ. The full deity being in Christ. Then he said second fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is our completeness is in Christ. Two things that prove our completeness is Christ. His power. He is the Lord over all spiritual powers. He is the head of all rule and authorities. That's why he is our completeness. We can see his work. He united us in his saving works. The God the Father united us with the saving work of Jesus Christ. Three saving works that he united us. In his death, verse 11. In his burial, verse 12. In his resurrection, verse 12. Can you see that? He united us in the saving work of Jesus. So he is our completion. We are completed in Jesus Christ. We need nothing. Jesus is enough. The third fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ, which is very important to understand who Christ is, what he has done. It is a great gospel message, we can see from verse 13 to 15. The third fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is God's forgiveness to sinners is in Christ. Look at verse 13. It says, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Have you seen the word, the phrase, have you forgiven us, having forgiven us all our transgressions? This indicates the cause, the reason, the ground of action of making believers alive. Paul is answering here question, why? Why he made us alive? That is, what is the cause? The idea is because he has forgiven us, he made believers alive. He has forgiven us, so he made us alive. The main point is here, forgiveness of God. There is no forgiveness, there is no life. If God did not forgive you, he won't give you life. He forgive you, then he forgives you and he will give the life. So Paul is giving reason why he made you alive, because he has forgiven you. In Christ. In Christ he has forgiven you. How long God took to make sinners alive after forgiving that person? Forgiveness is first, then making them alive is next. That happens at a time, one by one immediately. See, one by one immediately. He forgives, immediately he gives life. You can see the meaning of forgiveness. To show oneself gracious by forgiving wrongdoing. It's like to showing oneself graciously. He showed graciously. He gave grace to us to forgive us. That is the word we can understand. To grant forgiveness. To pardon. So our third fact that motivates us to find our sufficiency in Christ is God's forgiveness to sinners is in Christ. If our forgiveness, God is forgiving us in Christ, where will you escape? Where do you want to go? In whom you want to have trust in? Why you are not finding Jesus as precious one? Remember, brothers and sisters, God cannot forgive anybody else without Jesus Christ. He will forgive anyone in Jesus Christ. If you are out of Christ, if you are not trusting in Christ, God won't forgive you. God won't forgive you. That is the truth. We can experience God's forgiveness as a sinners only through Christ. Three aspects of forgiveness of God in Christ. First aspect of forgiveness of God in Christ is to purpose. We need to understand purpose. To make the dead alive. To make the dead alive. This is the purpose. Look at verse 13. When you are dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. The Colossians have come to life with Christ. This is new life. Their new life is sharing of a new life that he received when he rose from the dead. When Jesus died, he rose from the dead. He has new life. That new life has been given to us. He gave to us. God gave to us. It is only in union with him that new life is received. If you don't have union with Christ, you won't experience the life, new life. If you want to have eternal life, new life which Jesus has, you must be united with Christ. You must trust in Christ. If you are not trusting in Christ, if you are doubting Christ, then what will happen? You won't receive the life. If you want to experience eternal life, the new life from your deadness, you need to trust in Jesus Christ. That is the only, the way, only the possibility to experience the new life. The purpose of forgiveness is to make the dead people alive. You can see very clearly. The meaning of the word dead is to be morally, spiritually dead person. This is a state of alienation or separation from God caused by sin. So you are separated from God. You are alienated from God. That is called the spiritual death. Why I'm saying, look at the same word used in Luke chapter 15, verse 24. For the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. Who is that? Prodigal son. Father said, my son dead. He is not talking about physical death. He is talking about spiritual death. That means so he went a very far from God, alienated from his father. So that is the idea, spiritually dead. God said to Adam, in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. They did not die after eating. No, you know the truth. God is speaking spiritually. What will happen? There will be no fellowship between God and man. There is an enmity between God and man. There is no peace between God and man. That's when he said, you go out. You disqualified to stay in this place. You go out. So man lost his fellowship, his relationship with God. The enmity between God and man came because of sin. This is talking about the spiritual death. Did you heard any time when two people are getting angry, one person will say, what say? You dead in my opinion. You are dead in my sight. That means what? He is not speaking, he died physically. He is speaking, I don't have any connection with you. I don't have any fellowship with you. I broke my relationship with you. I don't want to speak with you. There is an enmity between you and me. So the same thing that Paul is saying. That is the idea. When God says, when Paul says, we were dead. Dead, it means the spiritual thing. Brothers and sisters, the giving of life is an act of grace. See, we were dead. Dead person cannot respond so that he can receive the life. So God is acting graciously. He made us alive by forgiving our sins. Forgiving our sins. The purpose of forgiveness is to make us alive. Make us alive. Two reasons why we were dead spiritually. The first reason why we were dead spiritually is because of our transgressions. Look at verse 13. It says, when you were dead in your transgressions. Why it is moral and spiritual death? Even it is saying, verse 13, right? You are dead in your transgressions. It is talking about moral death. It is talking about spiritual death. The idea is Colossians were dead because of transgressions. Why they were dead? Because of their transgression. The word meaning, the transgression is violation of moral standard. Wrongdoing. Normally of offenses against God. Doing crime against God. That is the idea. All were dead spiritually because of violation of the moral standards. Offense against God. We did sin against God. This term, no, it is used to describe Adam's disobedience, which is an actual sin of God. Transgressions means when God said, Adam, don't eat, he ate. That is called transgression. It's like, no, violation against God, disobeying God. Is there anybody here who did not do sin in your whole life? Raise your hand. I will follow you. No one is there. No one is there. We were dead in our transgressions. But God made you alive. God gave you life. Amen. That is eternal life. Ephesians chapter 1 verse, chapter 2 verse 1. And you were dead in your transgression and sins. Transgression and sins. We know that no one is righteous. So everyone who is sitting here violated the moral standard of God. all of them, all of Colossians, all of us were dead because of our transgressions. The second reason why we were dead spiritually, because of our sinful nature. Look at verse 13, it says, when you are dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. The meaning of the word uncircumcision is uncircumcised man, a non-Judean or a non-Jew, Gentile. Circumcision of flesh or circumcision is a sign of impurity and alienation from God. Uncircumcision means it is a sign of impurity, at the same time alienation from God. So what Paul is saying, you are being Gentile. You don't know God. As a being Gentile, you are sinful. You have sinful nature. You don't have any connection with God. You are doing sins. At the same time, you have sinful nature because you are Gentile. You don't know God. Ephesians chapter 1 and 5 says, see, because we were dead in our transgressions, because of our sinful nature, that God made us alive. This is great truth, right? That's why we need to worship from our heart in truth. Ephesians 1:5, it says, when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. The same thing Paul is mentioning here, Colossians and in Ephesians. What God has done, He has forgiven us, you and me, to make us alive, to give us eternal life. For that we need to glorify Him, worship Him. The lesson, no, what we have learned, only in Christ, God can give life to any sinner. If you are not finding Jesus as sufficient for eternal life, you need to trust in Jesus Christ. Second aspect of forgiveness of God in Christ is means. How He forgave us. Means through love and cross. Through love and cross. Look at verse 14. It says, cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So I can see two things here. His love I can see. His cross. Christ's cross I can see. Two means of forgiveness. First means of forgiveness is the cancellation of our sinful debt. The cancellation of our sinful debt. It says, right, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. The certificate of debt indicates the signed acknowledgement of our indebtedness before God. So you signed. So I need to pay this one because I have sinned. That is the idea. You know, Philemon chapter 1 verse 19 says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, I will repay it. I will repay it. See, Paul is writing, I will pay you. I will pay you. I will repay it. So, when we were doing sin, we are signing. Whenever I do sin, I will pay you, Lord, for that. So, that is the idea. That is the idea he is saying. Look at verse 14. Consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Here, Paul is including himself. Can you see that? Paul is including himself, that the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against him and against the Colossians. He is accepting his sinful nature. He has to bear the punishment for that. Paul is saying all disobedience of Paul and Colossians was written and is against them, against Colossians. No, have you read the bad heart and bad record? We went through in youth group. It's like, no, God is recording all our sins. All our sins. God is recording. No one will erase it. No one will remove it. But He is writing everything. But what happens? The cancellation of our sinful debt. How did Gentile know that they have sinned against God? and they need to pay for that debt. We know that Jews are guilty, they become sinful because of the law. They have law, whenever they disobey the law, then they are guilty. They know God will punish them. What about Gentiles? We know that. Romans chapter 2 verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately accusing, else defending them. So whenever Gentile person who don't know God, whenever he is doing sin, his conscience is accusing, defending. You are doing sin. You are doing sin. So based on that, God is going to judge. God is going to judge. So whenever you are doing sin, you are signing on the certificate of debt. Lord, I am going to pay. Lord, I am going to pay. Even Gentiles have to pay the debt to God. They have signed the certificate which contains the decree against them. So they need to be punished by God. They need to be punished by God. Why I am saying this? Paying to debt to a human is giving their money back with interest. For example, bank. If you take loan from bank, you will pay that same amount with interest. But paying debt to God is nothing but receiving judgment from God. Not always paying. If you are able to pay, you pay. Otherwise, whatever I say, you need to bear that. That is bearing the punishment of God. Do you know, we always pay, we won't pay amount, money. In old days, if you don't have money, if you go to hotel and you eat, right, some chapati, something else you eat, but you did not bring your purse, what will happen? Those days, no phones. They have to work in that hotel and go back. Did you understand? See, if you are not able to pay, you need to listen what master says to clear that. Here, no, paying debt to God is bearing punishment, that is eternal wrath of God. It is not paying loan to bank. It is very serious thing. Based on their record, God will punish them. Revelation chapter 20 verse 12. I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So what, based on their record, based on what they have done sins, the people think, right, no one has seen my sin. But God is recording each and everything. Based on those deeds, God is going to judge. So each and every one of us, whether Gentiles, whether Jews, they have to pay the debt. Because they have signed. Whenever they are doing sin, they are signing, I am going to pay the penalty, the price. But the good thing is, brothers and sisters, don't feel sad. Aray, God recorded all my sins. But there is a hope here. There is a great truth. What is that? But God canceled the debt of sinners. He canceled. This is not present or future work. The present work of God. This is not past and future work. It is present work of God. Past work of God. He has canceled already, which means he is not going to ask to pay the debt. He canceled everything. He is not going to ask debt. The meaning of the word, the verb having canceled, is blotted out, wipe away, abolished, erased. Here, our God abolished, wiped away, or blotted out the certificate of debt. All he wrote your sins, all records, just he wiped away. Just he wiped away. He is giving great truth, right? He is comforting believers. At the same time, you will get these all blessings in Christ. Don't follow those philosophies. Don't follow those angels. Can you see? He removed, he erased, he wiped out all your records. That's why we are not guilty. We are not guilty, not because we are righteous, we are not guilty because God wiped away all those things. The idea is, do you remember God wiped away all things except Noah's family and some creatures? Through the flood, he wiped away. He cleared everything. The same word used here. That means, no, nothing else, nothing else. No one will wipe it except the one who wrote it. One who wrote your debt, that agreement you are going to pay, that person only removed, wiped away. The cancellation of sinful debt is proving God's love. God's love. Can you see? The love of God is the means to forgive us. Not anything else. Brothers and sisters, do you thank God for this? He has wiped away all of your debt that you need to pay. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, if you need to pay 2 crores to bank manager, but the bank manager cancel your debt, you no need to pay. You will be grateful to him, right? 2 crores, man. 2 crores, wiped away. If somebody says, don't pay 50,000 what you have taken from me, biryani today, that day. In home, right? We will rejoice. We will, at the same time, we will give thanks to that person. If manager is removing 2 crores rupees, then that person will be so grateful, so thankful. If God wiped away all your records, how much thankful we are. That's why we sing here. That's why we worship God. No one like him. Can you see God's love here? Whatever sin you have done, you know all those sins. Nobody knows. But he wiped away. There is no single comma dot on the record. He wiped away. What a great God we have. What a great loving Father we have in Christ, in Christ. The second means of forgiveness is the crucifixion of Christ. The love of Christ canceling the sinful debt. The second means the crucifixion of Christ. Look at verse 14. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. This indicates the forgiveness of sins was accomplished by the crucifixion of Christ. Crucifixion of Christ. Literally, it means attaching the record about all your sins, the debt agreement, attaching agreement to the cross with nail. Using nail to put the record on the cross. That is the literal translation. This is used figuratively. So if God is the subject, God attached the record to the cross with nail. So idea is the forgiveness of sins were accomplished by the cross of Christ. By the cross of Christ. Christ was bearing all sins, paying penalty for debt, which we should pay. Can you see that? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why he was bearing our sin on the cross? Because God the Father took your record, all sinful records, and placed on the Jesus Christ. Placed on Jesus Christ. So he is bearing sin. God made him pay the penalty for all of us, you and me. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall on him. Fall on him. Can you see? The same thing Isaiah is speaking. Same thing Paul is speaking. You need to pay. But Christ is paying on the cross. On the cross. Something Paul is saying to Colossians. God nailed our record to cross. Christ took our certificate of the debt and paid it. In our place, if someone is not paying debt, one who gave money will complain to elders in that village. Then, no, they will go and they lock his house until he pays his debt. when one of his relatives come to know the people are coming to lock his house, one will go and see, please don't lock his house, don't inform elders. So what to do? He is not paying his debt. So long, he took three years ago. He is not paying. What to do? Okay, I will pay. Okay, you pay. Give me now. No, I am not able to give. So what to do? So write the stamp paper on your name. So that person has to write, so I need to give 2 lakhs rupees, I will pay. Not he will pay. So that time onwards, that person will not ask, that person will ask this person. So what happens? He took that stamp paper, the signed stamp paper to himself so that he can pay it. These things will happen in our villages. The same thing happened here. Christ took. God gave your records, that certificate, which we need to pay to Christ. He paid it. He paid it. That is the idea. Great truth, right? The same thing is happening here. We need to pay, but Christ took our sins, paid on the cross. God did it so that his son may pay for it. God was proving that, brothers and sisters, listen, he is just God. He is just God. He is not like corrupted man, like policeman. Did you see sometimes? When you are did mistake, if you have did mistake, what happens? 1,000. Because you don't have element. Then no, I don't have 1,000. If somebody says, what they say? I am so gracious to you, give me 200. Then no, he takes the 200. He is so gracious to that person in that case. So what he will do? Will he pay 200 to court? Government? No. Why I am saying this illustration? God is not like corrupted policemen. So he erased every sin of us. He cleared all our sins. But no, if he has not done anything else, what will happen? See? Corrupted God. He removed everything. But sin has to be punished, no? So he put all our sins on Christ. He punished. God, he is just God. He proved that even though he is loving, he is just. He paid the penalty through Lord Jesus Christ. How it is possible? It is possible, right? If I have debt, my father pays or my brother pays, I no need to pay, right? I no need to pay. The same thing happened. Why we are not paying our debt? Why we are not to be punished by God? Because Christ took our place. He paid everything. He paid everything instead of us. Brothers and sisters, what we will give back to God and Christ for their work, right? He showed his love so that he cancelled the debt. He showed his justice by punishing Christ on the cross. He has taken our debt of stamp paper and paid it. Christ took it. He paid it. There is a song in Telugu which I love very much. The song is like this. If I offer thousands of ram, it is not enough. If I offer 10,000 of rivers of oil, it is not enough. If I present my firstborn to you, it is not enough. What I will do, but one thing I can do, is lifting up the cup of salvation. I can follow you, I can praise you. One thing I can do. What we can give to God, we have to bear. He took that. Christ took that. We need to give thanks to him. The context is that based on Micah 6, the context is God doesn't want these things above those things. But here author is saying, even though you don't want, even though I want to give you, but it is not enough. It is not enough. Sacrificing my son, giving my son to him, it is not enough. That much you have done. It's a great song. We can think about old songs or gold songs. It is showing who Christ is, what he has done. What you will give, brothers and sisters? Nothing else. Just you give your heart to God who has done great things. The third aspect of the forgiveness of God in Christ is the result. First one is purpose to make the dead alive. The second means through love, through cross. the result. What happened after that? Victory over all spiritual powers. Look at verse 15. It says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. This is also some debatable passage. Paul did not say who is the subject. He said he. Some scholar says God. Some scholar says Christ. But whatever it is, I feel it is God. Because look at verse 13. He made you alive with him. That means no, God is the subject. God is acting. It is also possible Christ is doing. How can we solve this problem? Here idea is God had victory over all spiritual powers in Christ, through Christ. So Christ has also had over victory over them. If you say that God is victorious, how can God be victorious without Christ? Did you see that point? If you say Christ is victorious, how Christ will be victorious if God is not acting as sovereign God? So here idea is God is victorious over all spiritual beings through Christ. That means Christ is also victorious over all spiritual beings. That's why, you know, he is head over all rule and authorities. God is head over rule and authorities. He has victory. Two steps of victory. Two steps of divine victory over spiritual powers. The first step of divine victory over spiritual powers is he made them powerless. He made them powerless. It says, right, verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, the idea is he took away the power of the rulers and authorities. He caused the rulers and authorities to no longer have power. No longer have power. They can accuse, right? They can accuse people, the men and women, because of that certificate. They can accuse because of our sins. Now they are powerless. They are unable to harm Christians who live under lordship of Christ, who defeated them. Christ defeated them. God defeated them through cross. That's why, no, it is saying he is head over all rule and authority. Look at verse, we know that Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. The same thing, what God promised has happened here on the cross. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. You shall bruise him on the heel. Satan will bruise Jesus on his heel, that refers to the suffering of Christ. Satan influenced evil men to crucify Christ. He made people to suffer Christ, to persecute Christ. So that is bruising on the heel. What about crushing? Bruise on his head. It is talking about the complete destruction of his power. The Christ crushed the serpent head, destroying the works of Satan. He is not powerful anymore. That's why Charles Spurgeon, he says, Satan is like roaring lion who lost his teeth. He cannot bite. He cannot bite. Christ made powerless. They cannot harm Christians. They can do other things like influencing or false teaching, everything they are doing, but they cannot do. They cannot stand against the hell of gates, right? They cannot harm people. They cannot harm people of God. But this is not saying God destroyed their existence, but saying they continue to exist, but he made them powerless. It's like, no, one who has power and authority, after lose his that post, no, even though he lives, he can't exercise his power. Like God made, Christ made these beings like that, made them powerless. Look at Romans 8:38. 38 to 38. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, no power, nor powers, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you see that? They cannot harm Christians. They cannot touch Christians because God made them powerless. God made them powerless. But their punishment is sure. He is going to punish them one day. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes to the end. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. He is going to abolish. He is going to send each and every angel beings into the hell. Into the hell. So he made them powerless. That is victory. Second step of divine victory over spiritual powers is he displayed them as defeated ones. Not only he made them powerless, he displayed to everybody as defeated ones. Look at verse 15. Part B. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. The idea is, having triumphed over them is well-known triumphal march of a victorious general, leading captives, rulers in chains at his chariot wheels. It's like, no, one who has victory, he is going forward on his ride, on his chariot. Those who are defeated by him, no, they are walking behind him with chains. Can you see? The same thing happened here. What a great truth, right? God parades these powerless rulers and authorities to show all his great victory. God parades them in public behind him in triumphal march. Literally, God made them march behind him with hands tied because of victory of Christ on the cross. It's like, no, they became captivated. They are powerless. Just God is displayed to each and every one of us. God won the victory. Christ won the victory. Brothers and sisters, God exposed to the universe their helplessness and powerlessness of rulers and authorities so that the all world might see the great victory of Christ on the cross. Their period of rule is finished after Christ's work. They are surrendered to God because of Christ's cross work. They are not able to harm people. You remember 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 19? For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Verse 19. In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in the prison. Christ as a living spirit, even though he was dead, living spirit, as a being, as a soul, as a spirit, he went to those people, those demons, and proclaimed the victory. You thought you won the victory. I have finished the victory. I won the victory. You cannot harm anybody else, my people. Amen. What you have deceived Adam, you are deceiving each and every one of my people, my children. Now what happens? I won the victory. He proclaimed the victory. Proclaimed the victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death cannot overcome us because Christ won the victory. He defeated all spiritual beings. Amen. Through cross. Here idea is, if you understand who Christ is, he defeated them, he made them powerless, he displayed them as defeated ones, as a king, as a victorious, do you want to follow these people? These beings? That is the idea. That's why he is writing. God defeated these spiritual powers. God defeated the demons. He won the victory. He gave salvation. He gave forgiveness. Do you want to follow these sinful, the demon beings, spiritual powers? Why do you want to depend on these beings? It is clear, right? Verse 8. The false teachers, they are exalting these spiritual powers. You need to depend on them to complete your life. Paul is clearly explaining the sufficiency of Christ. Sufficiency of Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you want to follow philosophy which comes from these beings? Do you want to follow the things which is related to these beings? No. You need to find out your sufficiency only in Christ. How foolish it is then for the Colossians if they follow these powerless beings. How foolish men are those who depend on these powerless beings. Astrology, depending on angelic beings. How foolish they are. Christ defeated them. Christ is head over them. Sometimes even Christians will go and know about their life. How foolish you are. Christ made them powerless. Christ defeated them. He made publicly, but you forget, you go again and again to know who you are by depending on those things. I hope no one is here, but Christians are doing. Be careful. We should not depend on angelic beings, spiritual beings, to find our sufficiency in. Three facts that motivate us to find our sufficiency in Christ. Divine essence dwells in Christ. Our completeness is in Christ. Third one, God's forgiveness to sinners is in Christ. Can you see? In Christ. Where do you want to go? That is the answer. Where are you seeking your sufficiency in? Are you satisfied with Christ? Do you need something else, brothers and sisters? Decide for yourself today. But if you understand these three facts, the great truth, then you find your sufficiency in Christ alone. My mother told once, when you are very child, that time we lost you. We went to Tirupati, that big bus station. Then I was missed. So they were searching. We were searching for you. Where you are. Then they have seen I was sitting in another bus. You can see many buses in that bus stand. Like more than 50, 70 buses. Big bus stand, Tirupati. If you go there, you will be confused. So what I have done, right? Initially, as a child, we will find our sufficiency in mummy, daddy. Yeah, they will take care of us. When we grow a little bit, no? Then aunt will come. Then what we think? I am able to find out. I am able to do the things. I don't need my mummy, daddy. So I thought like that. I went, I sat in the bus. So finally, my mummy, daddy got me. If they did not get me, what will happen? Maybe I was not here. Maybe begging outside. Somebody will take me and change my full body, some like that. Do you remember when people take small childs, they will beg? I would be like that. By God's grace, I was found. What I'm saying, you need to find out sufficiency in Christ. If you are depending on yourself, if you are depending on something else, not on God, not on Christ, one day you will be missed. You need to pay the penalty. Don't follow philosophy. Don't follow anything. Be sufficient. Find sufficiency only in Christ. Because you know who He is. Who He is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who had victory over even these beings. God may help us to find out our sufficiency in Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before you this time. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your truth. Help us to find out our sufficiency only in Christ. Lord, protect us, Lord. Be with us. Help us to follow Christ, Christ alone. Lord, whenever we are weak, teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Motivate us. The characteristics of Christ, the attributes of Christ, work of Christ, so that we can follow Him, so that we can trust in Him. Thank you, Lord, for giving joy. Thank you, Lord, for giving your Son Jesus for our sake. Thank you, Lord, for all your works, for all your love and grace which you have shown to us. Bless this church. Bless each and every one of us, Lord. so that we may find our sufficiency in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.